Okay, good morning. A super Sunday to you too.
Is this the
Marmacomos? That's not the Marmacomos. My Marmacomos look like they always do. Welcome back, Rebara. So welcome everybody to this share Sunday morning in America. This is a legal holiday called Super Sunday. I don't know why, but it's become that. Actually, this is not my real introduction, but if ever there is a holiday that was only observed by one gender of people, today would be a male holiday. I don't know that. Now, over the years, it could be women have adopted the minhag of their husbands to follow and keep Super Sunday, but really that's a good hakdama for what we're talking about over here. Today's shir is entitled the Ezras Nashim, the halachos of the women's section. And although we give this shir in yeshiva to men, I do know that there are women that watch the shir. Once you put the shir online, who knows who could watch it. And I think it's very important, before we begin a halachic shir, understanding the status of the women's section, Ezras Nashim, which is nogea, both men and women. I think it's important to put into perspective what the women's section is in a shul, in Beis Medrash. You know, there are some proponents of feminism that would look at Orthodox Judaism and the women's section in a negative tone. Women are buried in the bleachers, on the side, nosebleed seats, sometimes upstairs. They're not part of the action, seemingly in a shul. And what's it all about? And just as an introduction, we all know there's nothing further from the truth. It's not true. Women play an essential role in the Jewish life, Jewish home in particular. But the fact that we have a separate women's section, our halachas in tefillah, halachas in tefillah actually in a min kavua, in a shul. For example, this came up, I happened to be by a family shal shittis last week. And after Shal Shudas, the Mishpacha wanted Daven Ma'ariv. So they were talking about, okay, could we just daven in the same room as women? And they were talking about something, the halacha, yeah, because the din of a machitza is really taloi, it's really based upon the fact of something, an institution within shul. If you happen to have a minyan outside of a shul, it doesn't need a machitza. Just a more common idea, obviously not. I'm supposed to be davening facing women, looking at women, but you have minyanim all the time, let's say by weddings or by events in a hall. There, we don't put up a machitza, daven in a quiet spot, and this. Okay. In the airport, you probably should need a machitza for a different reason. You can't daven in front of people that are not dressed properly. But the concept of having a separate section is, in general, in halacha, as part of a shul, halacha talks very strongly about women being in a separate section than men. In terms of tefillah, something that existed in Beis HaMikdash, it's something that through the ages has actually been a major sticking point. If you read up in history, if you know of history, of one of the battlegrounds in American synagogue life, early part of the 20th century, when Orthodoxy was threatened very much by Reform and Conservative, one of the biggest challenges was because Orthodox shuls insisted on having machitza, while the Reform and Conservative did away with it. And the idea of holding strong to have a machitza in a shul was a red line, a defining factor in a shul remaining Orthodox, staying Orthodox, becoming Orthodox. versus a shul that unfortunately strayed. And we know what has happened over history. Reformative conservative, unfortunately, have faded into abyss. But orthodoxy is as strong as ever in this country. So mechitza, having a separate section, is an important integral part of a shul. But by no means does that mean that a woman who davens there is a second-class citizen, is not welcomed, unverkehrt, just the opposite. And I think it's the job of every shul, every rav, every rebbetzin, to make the people coming to shul feel welcomed, important, and it is an important thing. And I would add this, people were telling me stories over Shabbos, they saw the topic. You sometimes have in shuls where there's an overcrowd, so people like going into the women's section. Or even if there's not an overcrowd, people come in late, they like to slip in and go into the women's section. So that's not advice for multiple reasons. First of all, they set up a women's section, it should be nice and clean. It's not for men to use the bathroom, it's not for men to use the area over there. That's set up for women. Secondly, there are major halakhic issues for a man to daven behind a mechitza if he could then join and be considered part of the minyan. If you're davening behind a mechitza, then very likely in halakha you would not be considered part of that minyan. And that comes with many different ramifications. So men should stick on their side of the room, women should be on their side of the room. That's just basic introduction for this topic. Yes?
Are we specifically talking about during davening, or if other things are going on in the shul like a shir?
Yeah. I'm talking about specifically during davening. This shir was not intended to talk about that concept of having a mechitza by a chasna, let's say a wedding, other points. You know, yeah, there's perhaps a need for them in those areas too, 100%, for different reasons. But today's shir is really just focusing in the structure of a shul and having the Ezra's Nashim. That's what we'd like to focus on this morning. And I saw a very interesting shiloh that was posed. Shiloh that could come up, and definitely a relevant issue. And we'll try to bring it down to the practical level and see what we could do with it. Let's first talk about this type of case. No, people are building a new shul, right? Why are they building a new shul? Seemingly because they have a crowd and it's a growing shul, and the current shul is not big enough. Want to expand? So they build a shul. You know, these building processes many times can take years. It could be by the time they finish the new shul, there won't be room. You have these problems. Yeah. You definitely will have, after shul is built, and if you're not part of the building committee, everyone's, you know, visions for how many things the shul got wrong, why they set up like this, like that. Okay, you know. You always have, you know, that itself is a good reason to make breakaways. People always have their problems. Yeah. But let's put forth the following scenario. When they originally built the shul, they envisioned X amount of men coming and Y amount, that was on purpose, of women coming. That's how they set it up. Over time, they saw that the numbers were skewed. Women like the Rav's drasha more than the men, and the women's section is much more crowded than the men's section. So they start talking about, what should we do? Should we expand? Should we this? Should we that? And someone puts forth the meeting, shul presidentium, you know, having a shul meeting, says, why don't we push up? Why don't we take away part of the men's section and add to the women's section? That was the issue that was brought up in the meeting. Look, if we have less men, look, we set up a shul like this. You know what? We made a mistake. Let's reconfigure it. And let's change, let's permanently change the setup of the shul. So the men will have a little bit smaller section in front. And the women will now have a bigger section in the back. That's halachic question posed. This question then went to the Rav. Is one allowed to do that? Are you allowed to change the nature of a shul to take away from the men's section to add to the women's section? Yes.
Is a permanent mechitza that's built in,
right,
as opposed to one that you use it the same way every single week, but it is movable, would there be a distinction here?
Excellent point. You picked up on my
every single shul in
usage. I'm specifically starting the shayla, starting this question, as a question of where you're making a permanent change to a shul. What's brought up is, what about something which we have a lot of, where shuls have flexible mechitzas on wheels. Never thought of that idea, great idea. But mechitzas on wheels, where it's very easy to change the nature of the mechitzas on a day-by-day, for sure, week-by-week process. So what about that? We'll talk about that too. But firstly, to make clear, we're talking about the permanent setup of a shul. Could one change that setup to make it expanding the women's section into the men's section? What is the question of this about? So what we're going to talk about today will be based upon our understanding of what is the Kedusha, what is the halachic status of a woman's section. So I'd like to go through some sets of marmakomos. First, we'll start from the Chachmas Adam. Okay, it's on the top left of your page. The Chachmas Adam, Klal Pei Vav, Halacha Tes Vav, writes the following. Ein Kedusha's basic aneses, Chala Klal, Al Ezra's Nashim. There is no din of Kedusha of a shul that applies to a woman's section. There's a more modern sefer, Shalchuva's Yad HaLevi, brings a Rambam. He says, Kol Makom Sheyesh Bo Asara MiYisrael, wherever you have 10 men, Tzarech LaHachin Lo Beis Knesset Shim Lo Tefila B'chol Eis, U'makom Zeh Nikra Beis Knesset. What defines a shul? A place where you have 10 men. That's a sibur for any davar shebekdusha. And that's what's defined as a shul. But when it ka'avol, nashim, shim shaykhaz ben minin asara, women who halachically do not count towards the idea of a minion, like it's clear in the Shulchan Aruch Arachayim Simenunei. So the place where they're davening, it doesn't have any Kedusha's basic nasas. Very interesting.
But that only means when women are, does it mean the actual physical space that has been designated for women, or does it mean wherever it is that the women are davening?
This is a very interesting point. Right? What sounds like the Chachmas Adam, and people that are bringing this Chachmas Adam understand that to mean, is the following picture. You have a shul, you have a hallway behind the shul. The hallway access other places. Does the hallway of the shul have Kedusha's Beis Knesses? For example, could I walk through the hallway to get to the other side? Halach and Hilchos Kedusha's Beis Knesses, one is not allowed to walk through a shul to get to the other side. Right, right, it cannot be, right? There's a shul in Queens, excellent example, right? Hashivenu, used to be Rabbi Taitz's shul. There's a shul in Queens where the block, you can't go through the other side of the block, but that particular shul was built in the middle of the block. So if you'd walk through one door of the shul, come out the opposite side of the door of the shul, you'd be on the other side of the block. So that is a famous route, potentially, to cut through. Now, they actually did that shul very smart. The cut through is accessible straight through a hallway.
Without going into the shul.
Yeah, so halakhically speaking, there is nothing wrong with opening up one door, walking through the hallway, going out the other door. Now you're on the other block. That is 100% mutter, because you never walk through the shul. A shul is defined as the place of where they daven. The hallway of the shul doesn't have that kedusha. So mamela, one could walk through that. One could bring many different halachas, certain things maybe you shouldn't bring into a shul. You could bring into the hallway of a shul. So according to the Chacham HaSadam, it seems, the status of a woman's section in a shul, halakhically speaking, is the same as a hallway. You could walk through a shortcut in the shul if you're only walking through the women's section. It doesn't have the same kedusha as the shul. Why? Because of the halacha. Women, a minyan is comprised of men. Women are not part of setting up a minyan. So if women are not part of the minyan, that's the definition of a shul. Kedusha's basic nesses stems from the men who are making the minyan, not the women.
There's a steer here.
Yes.
Because on the one hand, he starts off by saying that ain't kedusha's basic nesses, klal, all is nashim. Then he brings down the Rambam, which says kol makom shiyesh bo asarim yisrael, so he, on the one hand, he says the Ezra's Nashim has no Kedusha of basic Knesset. On the other hand, if 10 men were in there, it would have implied...
Okay, but that's not where the men are davening. Men are davening in the men's section. I would say,
if
think about this case.
There and there's 10 men there instead...
No, he's not talking 10 men instead. He's talking, there's two different parts. Right, wherever men set up the daven, that's the din of Kedusha's basic Knesset. I would say, let's say you had a set up room in a shul for a kid's minyan. The kid's under bar mitzvah.
Well, if they have a real minyan, they get 10 and they still daven, then it's...
Right. I'm talking about only kids in a minyan. That would be the same thing as a woman's section. It wouldn't have the Kedusha's basic Knesset. In order to have a din of Kedusha's basic Knesset, this has to be a set place for men to daven.
So, I guess, set place, so if it's a spillover and you happen to have 10 men in the Ezra's Nashim, that's not...
Yeah, and we're going to talk about,
what about
temporary
the
ideas.
Ezra's Nashim in Queens.
Yes.
All right. So,
but they have minyan there. That's
the high school basement.
Yeah, that's the base medrash.
I might be jumping way ahead here, but if it doesn't have the kedusha of the Beis Knesses, so then how do we deal with Kavana of Abel Tefila, Tokeya, of Abel Kriya?
Right.
We have a significant attendance jump.
Right.
So I would say,
very good point. Right? Josh is saying, hey, if the women's section is not considered part of the shul, so what exactly is it? The person being motzi people, let's say for different Dvarim Shebekdusha, or for Tkiyah Shofar, the others. So yeah, of course women could answer any Dvarim Shebekdusha because they hear it. And they're part of the shul. They're part of the shul in the sense that they hear it. Now, there's a different point. The Baal Tefila, whoever's being motzi people, should always have in mind he's motzi everyone, including the women. Should. Right? Even if you can't see them, but sure, you should 100% have in mind to be motzi them. As long as he has that in mind, if they hear him, that should be good. Yes?
With the children's minyan,
right.
Or I really don't want to get too involved in the concept of a woman's minyan where they actually have only women and they actually have laning, if there's a sacred Torah there, does that change status?
Interesting question. I don't think so. Because you could, technically speaking, you could store a sefer Torah in your house. Now, what that means is halakhically, you have to treat that room that holds the sefer Torah with a certain kedusha, but that doesn't mean it has a din of a basic knesses. Just the sefer Torah alone doesn't make a shul.
Even if it's a communally owned sefer Torah. So
yeah.
It's kind of connected.
Right. But that doesn't make a shul. it makes it, you have to treat the Sefer Torah well, and you can't do certain things around that Sefer Torah, but you could use your house as a shortcut. That's not a, that wouldn't apply. The Weinstein, so far so good? Yes.
There are certain shtiblach,
yes,
where Motzei Shabbos, when they have multiple people who have yurtzeits during mm-hmm. the week, so they want to make a second Maariv, sometimes they'll go into the ladies section.
So again,
it's almost like a separate.
Right, right. Should A, you do that, right?
Or the Ari goes out in the hallway.
Right. But B, does that make Kedusha's basic Kedusha's very not poshut?
Well, it'd be mashma from that Marmukim that it would.
Anytime there's 10.
That's what Dika's trying to make.
I mean, anytime there's 10.
If you agree to that Dika, then yeah.
The hack about that
Dika. It has to be permanent in some way, right? Yeah. You have a minion in your house when you sit shiva, but when you get up, the minion's gone.
I personally always try to daven inside the shul. As much as obviously known. But okay. So that's one position put forth by the Chas Bas Adam, that really a woman's section does not have Kedusha like a shul, and halakhically speaking, one can walk through it, and any other things. In contrast to that, the Tzitz Eliezer, amongst others, says he has Uriah from a Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim brings a Magen Avram, brings the Mabit, Sha'aser lishchol b'beis ha'knesses. The halacha is, you want to shlug kaparis, well, you could talk about flinging a chicken over your head. You know, talk about a pigskin. It's a different sport. They definitely have it during wind, you know. Right? Pigskins they have no problem with, but the chickens over their heads, no. No, at least we're holding on to it, not throwing it. But the sport of kaparis, so perhaps you could do that sport itself in the shul, but the Prima Gadim writes that it's also to shacht in a shul, so you can't shacht it after you shlug kaparis. You can't do that in shul. The kasha shagamba ezer's nashim mispalim shom also lishchot. You can't shacht either in the women's section, not because of the fact if women see them you shachting, boy, that will not be a healthy sight. It's not what women want to see. He says a different word. Kivash the Gnai Galdohu. Because it's Gnai. Now, that same Prima Gadim says you can't do it in the shul, you can't do it in the women's section. He brings the Gabi the Azara of Ne Basic Nasas, right? You have a courtyard, you have a hallway in front of a shul. The Silvical Prima Gadim Sham. On that, the Prima Gadim says, I'm not sure. Where are you going to do your shachting? You want to do your shakti in the courtyard? In the hallway? I'm not sure. It could be that's mutter if it's for kaparis. So look what the Prima Gadim writes. Inside a shul, you can't do it. In the courtyard, maybe. Right? Stam, you see from here, this is not the same thing as Kedusha. This is a certain, this might be even worse element. Shakting an animal might be considered a gnai. So even that you can't do in the hallway. So don't just think in the hallway you can do absolutely everything. Right? You can't play football in the hallway, even though I mean, maybe you do, okay. Most shoals, you know. Yeah. But in between that, the men's section and the hallway, he says a women's section you also can't. And the Prima Gadim is ranking a women's section above a hallway. It's comparable to the Kedusha of a shul. Therefore, also lishchotcham. And the Prima Gadim writes even more clear in the Gemara Megillah. It's a very interesting idea. According to Prima Gadim, Tzitz Eliezer brings us a women's section seemingly fully has the Din Kedusha as a shul. Despite the fact there's no minion there. But it seems that element that people are davening there, this is set aside for tefillah, tefillah of women, that 100% gives it an equal status as a shul. I have to quote that line. That's too good, Rav Baruch. Separate but equal. That's what the Tzitz Eliezer says for the Prima Gadol. Yes.
That was his Prima Gadol.
It's a really interesting thing because our shuls are set up as a Mikdash Ma'at and the base of Mikdash, they did do shtetl.
Interesting. You're right. Right? You're still asking a question that, hey, the base of Mikdash, there was shtetl done in there. Our shul is like a Mikdash Ma'at.
And that may be exactly why we can't.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we start thinking maybe this is
the
base mikdash.
Okay, interesting. I think the Gnai Gadol, the Etzem, it's a Gnai. The Etzem Shakting is a Gnai, even just for food. In the base of Mikdash, it was different because that was the Avoda. Right. The Avoda was bringing a carbon, so the Shakting was part of that carbon.
Yeah.
So, male, that's different. But, okay, very interesting. So far, we've seen two diametrically different opinions. How do you view the women's section? According to Chachma Sadam, a women's section is a lower level Kedusha as a shul. It's not the same Kedusha as a shul. Seemingly we said it's the same thing as a hallway, as a chatzar. In contrast, the Prima Gadol says, no, a women's section is equivalent to the shul. Things you can't do in a shul, you can't do in the women's section. And it's much different than a courtyard than a hallway. In between these two shitas is a middle ground. The Divrei Chaim, which is Sanzer Rav, I believe also Shlomo Kluger, amongst others. I'll tell you an interesting nafkami in a moment. He says, Sheyish Kedusha be'ezus nashim, ach lo b'darga gavoa kishol ezus anashim. There's Kedusha, but there's levels. A women's section has Kedusha. It's just not the same level of Kedusha as a men's section. He says, in many Devarim Shiva Kedusha, right? We have the Bima in the men's section. That's where the laning, that's where different things are going to be done. Okay? Hala, Lulav, Simcha, Kriyas Megillah. Okay. Now, I saw a very interesting point brought up here. So it comes out, there's three different shitas. One opinion is that women's section does not have Kedusha. Other, opposite extreme, the women's section has equal Kedusha to the men's. Or the third opinion in between is as Kedusha, but a lower level Kedusha. I'll give you one interesting nafkamina I see that they talk about. Is what about by the Kosel Maravi, right? There's a men's section, there's a women's section. How do we treat that? Rav Sternbuch writes, assuming he takes the opinion, like the second Shita, that there's a full Kedusha to women's section, Yesh Lishmar, our Kedusha's basic, and that's Rechovas a Kosel Maravi, Shkame welcome to Yudha Nashim, Ba'asim in Adin, Ladaber Shom Divrei Chulin, Allah of Alishnos, Shagam Ezra's Nashim, Kedusha's base, Knesset's Allah, Kiva Shim Yud, Avodas of Tefillah. I think it's an important point he has there. Of all the places, I a lot of times take Talmidim to go down by the coastal Friday night. In my more recent perspective on these things, I'm nervous, I'm not so excited about going on Friday nights. Because I find it's one big social scene. And it's tricky. If I go Friday night, what I'll do is I'll daven inside the kosel. Actually, the best minyan I find is all the way in. It's a Haimusha minyan, beautiful Kabbal Shabbos. No. Outside, there might be a lot of dancing, a lot of this, but it also very much blurs lines. And what's very extremely tricky about the kosel is what do you consider the makom, the basic kinesis of the kosel, and what's what you call the kosel plaza.
Once it's a question of what's
miyuchad, right?
But once it's a question of what's miyuchad for davening,
right?
It would seem like
you know there is a little fence, which I assume part of the chief rabbi They have that little wall. They have the wall there.
Also,
not little.
I hear you that, but that's, I mean...
And Miyarim Kivu on the ramp.
I don't know how much they have on the ramp.
Even when it's crowded, it rarely goes all the way up the ramp. But
yeah, that's tough.
Have you been there Friday night?
Even Friday...
Every Friday night.
Friday night is not a minion. Friday night is Tola Hefgeros. So there's a fine line.
Yeah. But Lamaisa, there are different Afkaminas. Eating, talking to Varm Batalim, you know? There's a healthy thing. A shul should have a hallway. Right? A hallway is a healthy place to send people that need to talk. Go to the hallway. Go do this outside. Right? A shul doesn't have a place to go outside. That's where you have problems. Right? You could have a shul up north where the only way to talk outside the shul is you have to bundle up and go out in the frigid winter. That's not healthy for a shul.
Social
health. Yeah. Right? There's a point for a social hall. Yes.
Question on Gibra Tayyip, his last line.
Yeah.
What part of Megillah are the women not Tayyip?
What's the discussion? Perhaps we'll get there.
Maybe it's another shear as we get
yes, yes, yes. Gerald.
Somewhat Gerald.
Now,
Gerald.
I should give credit. I found a lot of these marmakomos by Rabbi Yisachar Friend.
Sure.
Talks about this topic. And he wants to set up that really it's a three-way machlokas, la halacha, this inyan. Now let's go back to our original shayla. Our original shayla was, you build a shul. The building committee puts in hours and hours, raise tons of money, they finally build the building after so much heartache. And what happens? They realize their numbers are off. And there's more women than they anticipated. And the women's section is tight, the men's section is too big. So I want to change it. This is after some time that's already been davened over there. So can you change it or not? So if you look in the bottom two paragraphs, which are side by side, right, a friend wants to write the following. Ladasa poskim shekedushas ezrus nashim, shava kedushas ezrus nashim, according to what we found, that Tzitzel Yezer, Sternbach, others, Shlomo Kluger, Barer she'inkel shas lahagdol as his nashim al cheshbon as his gebarim. You have no problem. According, if you take those shitas, there's an equal kedusha. You can move it. Why not? Ula mashit as a chachmas adam v'siyaso shem as his nashim kedusha klal. Barer she'adaver aser. According to the Shitas, that a women's section does not have a Kedusha of a Shul. Of course, Aser. Kima Shemori Dover Sheishbo Kedusha, the Dover Sheishbo Kedusha. We have a very important rule called Mailan Bekodesh, Meimoridin. We only go up in Kedusha, but we can't downgrade. It's a very important halacha. People, I'll give you one outside point of Mailan Bekodesh, Meimoridin. People don't realize this. You have a mezuzah in your house. So, what happens when people move? Okay, so there are stam halachos. Should you leave the mezuzahs? Okay, well, let's say in a scenario, whatever, you're changing mezuzahs. Sometimes you put up, many times you put up mezuzah on the door, which is only, let's say, a chi of the rabbanim. Okay? So, a door like that, that mezuzah, technically speaking, if you change, you could put that mezuzah on the door, which is either a chiv derabana, or you could upgrade something which would be a deraisa mezuzah, chiv mezuzah. But what happens in the reverse? I have a door which is a chiv deraisa, and then I take that mezuzah, I put in the door which is only a derabana. I believe the poskim over there in Hilchos Mezuzah say that will be chasaron in Milam Bekodesh Vemaridim. You can't downgrade things. That really means when you ever take down mezuzahs and you want to transfer a different place, you should have them marked what mezuzah this is, where was it beforehand.
Wow.
All because of this rule, we don't downgrade Kedusha. If this mezuzah was up on the door being Mekayim a mitzvah, it's an inanimate object. It's a Chetzah Shel Mitzvah. But there's a concept of Milam Bekodesh Vemaridin. You can't downgrade it. Seemingly, this space was a place which was had a high kedusha. Men were davening there. Part of a Beis Knesses. Now you want to change that and have it part of a women's section. If you hold that a women's section does not have Kedusha, that'll be a violation of my Mekodeshei Meridin. Furthermore, my friend writes, the Chayim the Shittas of the Varachayim to see also the middle ground, Shish Mekedusha Akkuz Mishal Ezos Gibarim, Eim Ahapach Ezos Anashim La Ezos Nashim, Shish Mekacha Ridim Mekedusha. Even somewhat of a downgrade, not fully downgrading, but somewhat downgrading. That's also a problem. The Kakas of the Divrei Chayim Beferish. V'osav Shekein Kosov Kamakol Achronim She'asor L'horid Me'ezus Anashim La'ezus Nashim. The Divrei Chayim, the Sons of Rav, writes as Beferish. You cannot change a women's section, a men's section to a women's section. That would be a chasaron of downgrading Kedusha.
He's still talking about where it's a permanent fixture,
yes,
of a Mechisa.
Yes, yes. Now,
I'm assuming that the basement of Knesset is not made out tonight as well. Like, you can do other things with it.
It's a very good point. When I hocked the Sugya of Rabbi Friedman, he brought that up. How exactly do we view that? You know, it's different than this and that, right? Okay. But first I want to talk about, yeah, let's assume not for the meantime. So it comes out, major nafkamina, depending which psak you get, what's the din of a kedusha of a woman's section? If it's equal to, if it's less than or not, then you can't change it. If it's equal to, then you could. Now, till now, we set up the share as we're talking about permanent changes. What about a temporary change? How do we view that? So, this Shiloh was asked to Rav Zilberstein in the following scenario. For Yom Noraim, a shul gets a large amount of women that come. Could they change their movable machitzas and set them up in a way, set up the shul in a way, where they'll have a bigger women's section for Yom Noraim that dips into the shul? That was a question asked. To which Rav Zilberstein responded that if it's just temporary, you're talking Shemotar. It's Derech Arai. Okay? So Rav Zilberstein didn't make a split that there's a difference between a permanent change and a temporary change. The temporary change that he was asked was Yom Noraim, to change the setup for that. The question, though, is what about a shul, which is very common? Right? In fact, it happens here in Yeshiva. Now we actually have an Ezra's Nashim back, and we set that up now for Shabbos. But sometimes, if there's a Simcha, and therefore it's set up in the Ezra's Nashim, they'll put Mechitzas in the men's section for women. Is one allowed to do that? Now, especially, there are many shuls that that's the function of how they set the shul every week. Every week, they put a movable place into what otherwise would be a men's section. They put a movable wall. Now, I was discussing this hacking this last night, and yeah, people are masking to me. It doesn't sound so pashut. That sounds a little bit in between. It's not a case where it's only for Yom Noraim. It's something you're doing on a weekly basis.
There's also a separate issue here of Bittul Torah.
Separate issue? Right.
Yes, sir. No, it's fine.
But, so that sounds a little bit tricky. The mechitza itself might be movable and temporary, but you're doing this bikvias every week. It's a constant thing you're doing.
That's the shayla of kosher, you know?
Huh?
That's the shayla of kosher, what's considered to be kanemis or not.
What setup?
Once a week, once a month.
Yeah?
Let's do this.
So I'm not sure. The mitzias that we see around us, as many places they do this, it's very common. Right. Nobody has cast aspersions till now on such a practice. But halakhically speaking, I do hear room for a shayla about it. You know, I wouldn't cast aspersions on a shul that does it. But halakhically speaking, I'm not sure why. if you take the opinion that a woman's section doesn't have Kedusha or has even a lesser Kedusha, maybe it's not so easy to just roll in the, you think it's so easy to just roll in those machitzas? Halakhically speaking, it may not be so simple. Yes?
In the reverse, you have Shabbos or weekday even, where you have an event and you take these permanent, these movable machitzas, and you move, make the lady section smaller.
Right.
If a man davens where the lady section usually is, are they not part of the...
Yeah. So I didn't want to touch in the share, as brought up, you know, the issue of can you do other things daven a shul? The whole idea of a basic knesses being made al tanai. Okay, let's assume we're talking about shuls where they're not made al tanai and you have a set shul for these things and you have a social hall for your events and the shul is not touched. Right? They don't move the pews. Keep it like that. So this right here is an interesting shayla. Halakhically speaking, is it so easy just to move in the machitzas or not? So I haven't gotten a good answer yet, but if I will, I'll tell you. Now let me just end with one fascinating story. And I hope this will put in perspective the whole idea of a woman's section. Years ago in the Panovich Yeshiva, and this is probably something that goes on in many places, similar style that we were talking about, but in the opposite way, is the yeshiva was growing bigger and bigger, and they didn't have much room left. People want to daven. So the idea put forth was, okay, could we make the women's section smaller? The opposite. Could we make the women's section smaller?
There shouldn't be any issue there. You'd be mounting.
Correct. I'm not talking about the halakhic issues now. I want to give over hashkafa. And the argument was made, look, for the most part, you know, who comes? Only people. Okay. If they don't want to daven here, they'll daven somewhere else. And, okay, the Gabbaim were about to do it, but someone said, you know, any changes we make in yeshiva, we should discuss with Rosh Yeshiva. So the shaila was put forth to Rav Shach. Rav Shach, I heard this story from my dear friend, Chaim Aryeh Zev Ginsberg, and he reported that Rav Shach said, absolutely not. He forbade them. So what's the big deal? He says, you don't know on whose schos our tefillah is answered here in Panovich Yeshiva. Is it because of hundreds and hundreds of bachrim that come and daven here, you know, light and alumni? Or is it the women's section? The women davening over there. Chazal say that women have a tremendous koach tefillah. Mm-hmm. Women have a tremendous power in davening. And you don't know whose chosim we had that really helped accept our tefillahs. That perspective of Rav Shach, I would say, even stronger than our American perspective. It's separate but not equal. A women's section is actually might be a stronger force in a shul than anything else. We might be debating what brings Kedusha's basic nesses, a minyan, Dvarim Shebekedusha, but what allows tefillos to be answered? Don't underestimate what a women's section is. As a nashim could be the most powerful part of a shul. And mamela, okay, may it be the same darga of Kedusha as the men's section, but it's something essential, something that we should respect, and we should realize the power of what an Ezra's nashim has. Thank you very much. Wish everybody a wonderful week. And if you know anyone listening to this year, make sure they listen to the end.